Praise God. Praise God. Philippians 4:8. Why don't you look on your sheet for the sake of time? Won't take time to turn there. We've read this many times. We've been talking about what we've called Think on These Things. This is part 6. If you didn't hear the other parts, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. That's what the website's for. We're not going to cover all the ground that we did already. And we focused on many different things, and the Lord is just bringing us up on some things. It's been very good. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And we've talked about keeping our mind focused. Another translation says, "Fix your thoughts on these things." Keeping our mind on what God would have us keep our mind on. The Word of God. Our thoughts ought to pass a filter. We ought not let anything come into our mind, just anything. We need to be conscious that there are thoughts that can come in. And we need to, that are from the enemy, that are tainted with other things. We have to be very diligent. And we've talked about some of those things. Last week, we got into the fact that the Word of God is light. And that as we renew our mind, we're going to be renewing our mind with the Word of God. And that His Word is light. We're going to read some scriptures along those lines as we get into this. Let's look at your scripture sheet. We read this last week. Ephesians 4:17 before we go on. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." We ought not to look like everybody else. How many of you know the world is getting worse? You just have to look at the headlines. You see, it's becoming more and more ungodly. But for the Christian, the light's getting greater. There are more people being born again than ever before. There are more people on the face of the earth, and great things are happening on the earth. But the world is getting darker. But the light is getting brighter. And we're in the light. It says that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. They don't understand. They're dark. Things are not clear. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man." The old man. When you're born again, your spirit becomes new. Your body doesn't. Your mind doesn't. Your mind needs to be renewed. So we are supposed to put off the things that were tainted that had to do with our old way of thinking. Things that are dark. Things that are of the world. We're to put those off. "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." As we renew our minds with what? The Word of God. That we start to think like He thinks. That things that have been dark, things that have not been clear, places where we've stumbled, we renew our mind, line our mind up with the Word of God, things become clear. We walk according to what He has said in His Word, His ways, and things become lighter. Verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." We put on the new man. We become aware of what happened when we became born again. We become aware of the state of our new man, that it is created in righteousness and holiness, of who we are in relation to the Lord, of what Jesus is to us, of the authority that we have in Him, and how we ought to work or walk on this earth. We become more and more aware of that place, things that have held us in bondage, things that have made us to stumble, that they will be changed by the light of the word, that our behavior can be changed to where we see, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it this way. And that lines up with the word of God. And as we do that, we get higher and higher, and the light of God's word shines brighter. We read this last week, but let's turn over to John 1. Just trying to review a little bit, get going, lay a little bit of groundwork here. John 1. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. John 1. I especially encourage you to go back and listen to last week's message. It'll kind of give a better background as far as where we're going today. But John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So this is Jesus we're talking about. Jesus is the Word. He is life. He is light. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, Jesus, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Turn over to, before you turn, look down at verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, Jesus. The Word became flesh here on the earth, in this realm. Turn over to chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He said, I'm the light. I am the light. And what do we read in John chapter 1? He is the Word. The Word brings light. Who's the Word? Jesus. And Jesus is light. And we read these other scriptures. Let's look at them on your sheet. Psalm 119, a couple scriptures in Psalm 119, take time to turn there. Psalm 119, 105, about halfway down the front of your sheet. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. His word will show up where you need to go. Don't ever walk contradictory to the Word of God. It is light. It will show you what to do. When you don't know what to do, go before Him. He will lead you by His Spirit and by His Word. His Spirit will never, ever, ever disagree with His Word because they're one. The Spirit of the living God is His Spirit, and He is light, and His Word is Him. So somebody that says, well, the Holy Spirit led me over here, and it contradicts the Word, it's not the Holy Spirit. It might be a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It, sure enough, I mean, some people, though, that well, God led me to do this. And you can show them Scripture, that says exactly the opposite. Well, no, I believe God's leading me to do this. Don't ever do that. That is very dangerous. You are going in the face of truth, of light. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Notice that. The entrance of your words gives light. When we hear the word of God preached, light comes. Right now, light is coming. Shining light, your heart is being enlightened. Things are happening. The anointing of God is teaching us right now exactly where we need. Every one of us, the Spirit of the living God is teaching us what we need to hear, and He's bringing us up, and He's bringing light to us right now. Clarity. Showing us things that maybe we hadn't seen, because that's what the Word does. The Holy Spirit bears witness with the Word. Revelation, let's read these two scriptures on your sheet. Revelation 21, 23. It says, the city had no need of the sun or of the moon. This is talking about heavenly city. To shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Jesus. Jesus is the light of heaven. There is no darkness. None. There is no darkness in Him, the Bible said in 1 John. Revelation 22, 5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Don't need the sun. Don't need a flashlight. Don't need overhead lights. Don't need a light switch. Why? Because there's God is light, and He's there. And they shall reign forever and ever. It's going to be glorious. No darkness. None. None. Praise God. Now, you still in John? Let's go over to John 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He is light. His word is light. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 3, verse 18. It's right after John 3, 16. Might as well just read that. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they may have been, or that they have been done in God. Jesus said, I'm the light, and everyone that comes to the light, they have to come to the light, and they have to acknowledge the light. It says, those that don't, that love darkness rather than the light, they shun the light. Do you notice that's true, right? That's true in the world. You know, a lot of things that shouldn't happen, that men engage in, a lot of it doesn't happen in the light of day. It happens in dark dives, night, in darkness. away from people, in the shadows. Why is that? Because darkness in behavior does not like the light, shuns the light. The light will show up darkness. We've talked about that some. The light brings clarity to a situation. You know, we said last week, like if you're looking for something in your bedroom or in looking around, you may have the overhead light on, but it might be, you know, under your bed or somewhere where you just can't see. There's the shadow, there's still a shadow there. You can't see to get what you're looking for something. You can't see quite around this corner. You can't see it because it's dark. You can look right at it. You just can't see. There's just not enough light there. So you have to get a flashlight or something to shine on it so you can see. Oh, okay, there it is. I can see it now. What was there all along? But you couldn't see it because the light wasn't shining on it. And that's the way our lives are in different ways. There are areas of our life that we say, I just don't see things here. I'm stumbling. I'm falling. But the Word of God, the light coming in any area, will show it up and show you what you need to do. Any area. The Word of God has the answers for every problem, every area. And as the Word of God illuminates your situation, we have a choice. We have a choice to act on what we now see in light of His Word, or we can act like we didn't see it and keep going. Because His Word brings light. And when we see it, when it comes across, every one of us has a choice. We can hear it, say amen, read it in the Word at home and say, oh yeah, I should change that and go right on and not change a thing. Or we could listen to it, take heed to it, and actually change according to the light. And we all are presented with that as we walk through life. God wants us to continually come up, and light is going to come. Light is going to expose our life. And we're not talking about just all things that are completely dark. Sin, I mean, just outright things that you would think of as, well, that's pure evil. I'm not talking about that in particular, although that is included. I'm saying God shows up a situation and you see it from the Word of God that I ought to make this tweak in this area. We have a choice. Do we act on it, even if it is uncomfortable, and say, God, I see that, I'm going to make the change? Or do we go on and say, I don't really want to do that. I'm just going to keep going the way I have been going. That's dangerous. I said that's dangerous. And we're going to read some scriptures concerning that. Turn over to John 12 while we're here. John 12, verse 44. It says, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. There is so much in the Word about light. Go look sometime. I mean, we're not going to even touch a lot of scriptures. But that God is light, and the Word being light, and how light shows up darkness. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe. Now, of course, this is talking about salvation, but it can apply to any of the Lord's words and anything. You believe this is an inspired Word of God? The Spirit of God inspired it? Well, it's His words. He is the Word. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. Notice this. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him, the word. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. When we hear the word of God and the light comes and we see it, that word itself is light. And that's what is the judge. When we say, I don't see it, and we act like we're in darkness, that's when deception comes. You deceive yourself. You deceive yourself. When you act like, I don't see it, I'm going to keep doing that. That's called being a hearer and not a doer. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Verse 49, I think we can stop at 48. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Well, we can read 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should, or what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Jesus was speaking what he heard the Father say. Now let's turn over to James. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. James, chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. We're talking about light coming, about changing our mind. The Word of God comes. We have the ability then, as the Word of God comes, to renew our mind according to the Word. James 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now go back real quick before we go on. Verse 21, the receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. That's not your spirit. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to Christians. Look at verse 2 of chapter 1. Now we have broken, men have broken the Bible into chapter and verse for easy reference, so I can tell you, turn to James 1:21, you know where to go. It's not like that place on the, you know, way back here on this page. You know, we can do it for reference, but it's all one letter. He didn't change context. Verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Verse before that, he said, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, my brethren, count it all joy. Now look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 13. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Are you talking to believers or not? Yeah, he's talking to believers. If you're sick, call for the elders of the church, the called out ones, ecclesia. He's talking to Christians. So verse 21, chapter 1, verse 22, or 21, he says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in your body. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. It's not your brain. It's your soul. You'll have your soul when you go to the next realm. It goes with your spirit. It's not the physical organ that you're thinking with. That's not your mind. Your soul thinks through your mind. but your soul. What doesn't that line up with what we've read over in Ephesians? That you renew your mind. That you save. This word save is not just like save, just being born again. It's save to make whole. Renew your mind. But notice what he said. And receive with meekness the implanted word. What is the word? It's light. It's life. Which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Notice that. Deceiving yourselves. Can you deceive yourself? Yeah, you can. You're the easiest one to deceive. You can deceive yourself more readily than anybody. Fool yourself. Ever heard somebody said, don't fool yourself? We can tell ourselves stuff that's not true. You tell yourself long enough, you'll believe it. And you'll think it's true. And it's not true. But when you fooled yourself, and you got into a place, and you're the one that got you into that place, something's got to get you out. It's not like somebody else deceived you. You deceived you. And you've told yourself this for over and over to where you think it's true. And how did he say this can happen? When you hear something and you don't do it. I mean, you say, well, yeah, that's great, but I want to do it this way. I'll do it this way. I don't, Bible or no Bible, I may not say it that way, but I'm going to do it this way. You can deceive yourself. This is how people get to where, well, I've heard all that, but it's not working. No, the Word of God works. It works. It works. The Word of God did not fail. But if we look up and we say, I don't know, it just doesn't, everything's going wrong, but I'm doing everything right. What are we saying? That God is not holding up His end of the bargain. Really? Do we really think that? No, that's a trick of the enemy. And he'll tell you that. He'll feed our pride and say, well, you're doing everything. Nobody could possibly expect more from you. Look at all you're doing. I mean, you've done this, and you've given up this and this. Where is God? What is he doing? Why isn't he coming through for you? When we analyze that, what is it saying? The Almighty failed. He wasn't faithful. How many times do we read in Scripture that he's faithful and he's true? Now, I know circumstances may look like, oh, where is he? But that's a lie. That's when we have to say, no, he's still faithful. He's still true. This will change. I don't care what it looks like. I refuse to say that he's not faithful. He's still faithful. He's still true. Amen? But when we have the word come to us and we can see what we ought to do and we say, no, not going to do it. Or we see it and we say, yeah, but that's hard. Yeah, but the kids would think this way. Yeah, but my spouse won't. Yeah, but my boss. What are we doing? We're still deceiving ourselves. We're saying it doesn't apply in my situation, right? Don't think that it's just so bold-faced that it's going to be like, I am not going to do what God said I'm going to do. No, it's way more subtle than that. You will have a reason brought to you on a silver platter of why you shouldn't do what God said you should do. It's not economically feasible to do that. Just doesn't, you know, this will be cheaper. But it's against God's word. But we'll make excuses. What does the Bible say we do what can happen when we do that? We deceive ourselves. What are we talking about? Renewing our mind? We want to program our mind to think like he thinks, right? Well, then when we see the word, how many of you, we ought to do and change our mind to agree with him when we see it. If we're wanting to reprogram our mind and we see something and light comes up and we say, I see where my mind's been wrong, I've been thinking the wrong way, but I see that, but I'm going to choose not to reprogram that. Instead, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. We just pulled ourselves into more darkness. Do you see that? That we don't want to do that. Because if we really want to go up and we want to see more like he sees and the light comes, it's shown, we see, I see it. I see what I should do. I got to make that change. What a lot of times happens is we say, this lie will come. I can't do that. That's too hard. Now, if God told us to do something that's too hard, he's unjust. If we can't do it and he told us to do it, he's an unjust God. But if he told us to do something and we say, I don't know how I'm going to do that, but your word says I'm to do that. Here I go. The grace of Almighty God is there to help us, and he will see us through. But when we purposefully, I'm not saying people do it on purpose, but we have to be aware. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. When he comes and gives you a reason why you can't do the word of God, don't buy it. Don't buy it. I said, don't buy it. Shut it down and say, no, I will do what he told me to do. I see it. I want everything that he has for me. I will not turn away from it. I don't want to be a hearer and like, oh yeah, I know that. Not going to do it. And I'm in deception. No. That opens the door to more darkness instead of more light. Let's keep reading. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Notice it's called the perfect law of liberty. What we're not talking about is, oh boy, you know, you just saddle yourself with all God's, what he's told you. No, that's not Jesus. Who's the word? Jesus. Who's light? Jesus. Jesus will shine the light up on some area and show you what you need to do next. And he is not going to beat you over the head with it. He's going to say, change this. And he'll give you the grace to do it. And you say, yes, sir, I'm going to do that. I'm going to change that. And you help me. You say, if you're thinking I can't do it, you say, Lord, help me to do that. I see that's the truth. I see that's what I'm supposed to do. Lord, help me. Help me to change. And he will. But if we turn away and say, I don't think I can do that. I'm not going to. He is holding out his hand. He is showing you something that will help. And we turn away and say, I don't think you can help me. And we go away. And we put ourselves into where we now think we can't do it. And the answer was right there. Now we walked away from the answer. Now if we keep going and it gets worse, now somebody tries to tell you the word. And what a lot of people say, I tried that. I heard that. It didn't work. See, they're deceived. They don't know what they're saying. I tried it. A lot of people have heard the word. And they say, I know that. It didn't work for me. Anybody ever heard that besides me? No, the word doesn't work. I don't know. It just didn't work. No, something happened, but it wasn't that the word failed. That would be saying Jesus failed. If there's a problem in our lives, why are people so quick to say it's him that messed up? How arrogant is that? Well, it's not me, really. The person that's been on the earth for 30, 40, 50 years, and the Almighty, who changes not, in whom there is no darkness, and you look at him and say, it's got to be him. Got to be him that messed up, because it isn't me. You put it like that, it's pretty like, nah, nobody would ever do that. No, we do that. Because we have help. Because the enemy tells you that. Well, it's him. He surely failed. No, he didn't fail. We believe that. We're more deceived. Now we think, I can't get out of this situation because there's no help. I've tried God. I've seen the word. None of it works. Now we're in more despair than ever. You see that? No, but if light comes and we'll say, I see it. Lord, help me. Then change is on the way. Let's finish verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You'll be blessed because you'll go, and this is the way it happens. You'll see light in an area. And if you'll do it, it'll get better. And then you'll see light in more area. And you'll get better, and you'll get better, and you'll keep coming up. And God will just keep showing us what we need to know next. Thank you, Lord. Turn over to chapter 4 of James. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. If we say, I see the word, but I'm not going to do that. Well, that doesn't work. What are we being? We're being proud. We're saying, I know more. It's God's fault, whatever. I know more. No, but if we say, God, I don't see how to do this. I don't know how I'm going to change that. This thing has been here for 5 years or 10 years or whatever, but I see I'm supposed to change it. Lord, help me. I need help. Help me. What do you say? He's going to give grace. Grace. Favor. Ability. Help. The power of the living God coming on the scene to help us move. To help us get to where we need to be. You think we could make some changes that way? Do you think we could do the word that way? Yes, we could. And that's the only way any of us can do it. We're not talking about doing it in our own strength, saying, well, I did this. No, we're talking about humility before the Almighty, saying, God, I see. You're showing me. I need to change that. Now, help me to do it. Help me. And he will. And he'll bring us up. What are we talking about? Renewing our mind, thinking on the right things. When we see what we need to change in our mind, we need to jump on it and say, I'm going to do that. By your grace, I will do it. I'll change it. I'm going to be a different person. And we see ourselves that way. What does the next verse say? Verse 7, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of people cut off the first part of that verse. They just quote, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But they're not submitted to him. They're not submitted to God. If we're not submitted to him and his word, see, submission to him is submission to his word. If his word says something, say, well, I follow God. Well, yeah, that thing, I know about that verse, but I'm not doing that. Forget, I'm submitted to God. No. If light came, if you knew. Now, I'm not talking about the things that you haven't seen. Yes, all of us have fallen short. Yes, we are messing up and we don't even know we're messing up. You're not accountable for that, what you don't see. But if you see it and you act in, you act opposite to it, you've seen it, and I say you see it. I'm not talking about you even heard it, but it came to light. There's things that you could hear that you heard 18 times preached. You saw, you went over that chapter in the Bible 20 times, and one day you're either sitting here or you're reading at home and you say, oh Lord, that I see that. That light came. That's light. You see what I'm saying? Because we walk in the light that we have. Do you expect a 3-year-old to walk in the light of a 12-year-old? No, you don't. The 12-year-old could say, yeah, but the 3-year-old's not doing this and this. And you say, well, they don't know. They don't know to do that. They haven't been taught. They're not there. They can't understand it. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't get caught up in anybody else's business. You just worry about what the Lord is telling you to do and light that has come that you say, this is what I'm working on. I'm going to do this today. You have, if you're following the Lord and going with Him, you have more than enough to take care of your stuff. You have no time to take care of anybody else's junk. You have no time to mess with anybody else's business. If that's not the way it is, you're not following Him. in some way. Because we don't. If God is going to task you with doing something that's going to take all your faith, all what you have, you're going to go after that and forget everybody else. I'm not saying you don't care about them, but I can't meddle in your business because I'm dealing with what God has told me to do. And I'm going to go after that. And if we'll just look at what he tells us to do and say, yes, sir, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to focus on doing. Then he'll be faithful and he'll bring us up. Then when you're submitted to God, you know you're doing what he told you to do. It's not necessarily easy, but you said, I'm making this change and God's helping me. Now the enemy gets on your back. You look at him and say, shut up and leave in the name of Jesus. And you know you're submitted to God. You're doing with everything you know. I'm doing what I've been told to do. You are on solid ground to look him in the eye and say, go. And he will go. But let me tell you something. A lot of Christians are trying to bypass this. And they want to mess with all kinds of stuff. They want to mess with all kinds of stuff they shouldn't be anywhere near. And they want to say, and then some, they're not doing what God told them to do. They're not obeying the word. And I'm not talking about every, I'm talking about what God has told you to do, what you have light on. They know they're not supposed to do something. And they're acting in that way. And I'm just going to go over here and I'll be blessed just as much anyway. And Satan comes up and does something and they say, go in the name of Jesus. And they wonder why nothing happens. I'm not talking about standing in your own strength. We're not talking that it's works. See, people will try to twist this into works. Well, you're talking about just keeping the law. No, I'm not. I'm saying the word that God has made clear to you. If you are disobeying that and going and flying in the face of that, and then you expect to go into something and just to work just as if you had obeyed him by his grace, and you trusted him to where you said, God, I don't know how to do that, but you're going to help me, and God, by your grace, I'm going to do this. Then you go and something's not going right. You say, in the name of Jesus, leave. You are on solid ground. You are trusting in him. Your heart is clean. Your conscience is clean. You have confidence before God, and the enemy will flee. But when people go, well, it doesn't matter. God sees my heart. God sees your heart, but the devil doesn't care. He'll destroy you anyway because he knows you're not on solid ground. You're disobeying what the Lord told you to do and expecting things as if you were obeying him. You've gotten yourself on the enemy's territory, on darkness, deceit. You don't know. You don't see as you should, so things aren't going right. And then you're trying to bind him when you're yielding to him already. Does that make sense? You've yielded to him. You've rejected what God said in his word. And you said, I'm not going to do that. It's too hard. If you're rejecting him, who's prompting you to reject God? It's the enemy. So you go over and start going on his territory and stuff starts going wrong and you're trying to rebuke him when you're listening to him. Amen? We are on his ground. It's like, but things are going wrong. Stop, devil. But yes, devil. It doesn't work. It's a deception. I said it's a deception. I said, and there's a lot of people in this boat because they've slipped down to where they think, well, everything's okay. Everything will be fine because it's all Jesus. Jesus paid the price, but we have to take a hold of it. And if we don't listen to him or say it's too hard to do what you're doing, we're calling him a liar. And then we're going over here and say, but it'll be okay. I'll just go this way. And the devil's just pulling us. I'll go this way. It'll be okay. And then boom, stuff happens. This is the answer. This is light. This is an answer for certain things that people, I'm stumbling around in darkness and I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. And they haven't changed their mind. And they haven't lined up with the Word of God. Praise God. Let's wrap this up. I think we'll wrap it up. Let's go over to 1 John. I didn't think we'd get here. But let's go here. We'll wrap this up. You see this all in context and see it the way the Word of God, with all the stuff we've talked about. 1 John 5. Praise you, Jesus. Everybody there? 1 John 5, or 1, verse 5. Sorry. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is what? He's light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him. Now notice this, with everything we've talked about, we interpret the word of God by the word of God, right? You don't interpret it, you know, just, well, this is my idea. If we say that we have fellowship with him, in other words, we're in good standing. We're doing what we know to do. I've done what he told me to do. I'm walking close with him. See, if you're how could you walk close with the Lord and when he exposes something to you in your life and you say, "Nah, I don't really want to do that. Nah, I don't want to do that." But we're good, right? Yeah, Lord. Nah, I don't want to do. That's not walking with him. That's not. He might be your Savior, but he's not the Lord. If we say, and this is written to Christians. It is written to Christians. Yes, it is. It's in context. It's not written to somebody else. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What is he saying? If we're saying everything's good, I don't know, but darkness, I keep bumping into this, but I'm walking with God. I don't understand what's going on. What does he say about it? We lie. In other words, light came and we rejected it. We did not do what he told us to do. And now things are not going right and we're bumping into stuff and we're saying, I don't know. I'm following God. What's going on? Now notice the context here. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. What's the light? It's Jesus. It's the Word. We walk in the light. The light that we have. The light that we see. We're walking in the light as he is in the light. Then what does it say? It says we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That means the stuff that you mess up on, that you don't even know you're messing up on, he takes care of it. You're clean. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin. Now notice in context, he's saying if you're bumping up against, people have taken this out and said, well, if you just say you have no sin, you know, you're trying to make this salvation scripture. No, he's saying if you're saying I have fellowship with God and I'm bumping around in the darkness and then I say, I ain't sin though, it ain't me. What? I don't know why this is happening. That's what he's saying. It's in context. He's saying, if we say that we have no sin, we, again, deceive ourselves. We're saying, it's not me. I don't know why this is happening. I can't see anything wrong. We're deceiving ourselves. Somebody else could look at you and say, you tell me that's God's fault. And I can look back here and see all these things where you just basically threw God's word in his face. No, we're deceiving ourselves, but there are many, many Christians that are in this state. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, what are we saying? If we repent, if we say, I missed it here. God, this was wrong. I should have done that. I knew I should have done that. I didn't trust you. I'm sorry. Instant, it comes to light. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, so the excuse that, well, I just can't do it. God's telling me to do something and it's just way too hard. This is what this is for. Not saying you're getting born again. It's saying you've basically rejected God and his word and pushed away from him. And said, I'm not going to do it. You're coming back, coming clean and say, God, I'm sorry. I blew that. Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to go away from you. I missed it. And it says, the Bible says he'll forgive you and clean you up. And now you're submitted to him. Now you're going in the right direction. In And in context, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in. Again, in context, it said, if you're nothing is going right and you're saying, yeah, but I haven't sinned. Not me. It's not my fault. That's not a humble attitude. That's not a place where you're going to receive the grace of God. When we go before him and say, Lord, I blew it. I see it. But Lord, I'm asking for your help. I see what I ought to do. I'm changing now. Lord, you help me and I'm going to go. And if I mess up, I'm going to get right back up and say, God, I'm sorry I missed it. And just keep going. And if I stumble again, Lord, I'm sorry I missed it. And we're talking about things that violate your conscience that you know you did wrong. Don't drum. If there's nothing that you think that is violating your conscience, don't drum something up. Some people do this. They're like, everything. They sin here and they sin there. And they haven't sinned. They have a thought. And they think, oh, I had a bad thought. I sinned. No, unless you entertain that thought, you're not yielding to it. People say, well, you know, I'm trying my best to do this at work and I just didn't do it perfect, so I sinned. Who said? Why? That's not in the word that if you make a mistake and learn, when you fall down riding your bike, is that sin? 3-year-old or 6-year-old, get up. You messed up. Get back on that bike. No, you're learning how to do something. We're all going to come up, and some people have overactive consciences so that the devil has hoodwinked them, so they think everything they do is wrong, so they're constantly going on and confessing and confessing and confessing, and they just say, well, that can't be right. I can't be confessing all the time, and they throw the baby out with the bathwater, and that's not what the word's talking about. Real quick, I'll say it like this. There was a minister that he had a staff, and he was talking to him, giving him in a staff meeting or whatever, and he mentioned that, you know, he wanted them to work harder in certain areas, and to put, some of them aren't being as diligent as they should, and so he needed them to work harder and so on and so forth. And after the meeting, his most diligent, hardest working, conscientious person came up and said, that was right for me. I knew I wasn't doing right. I'll try harder. And the people that he was really targeting didn't even come up, didn't think they were doing anything wrong. This is how a lot of Christians are, and the devil knows it, and he'll use it against you. If you have a heart that's tender towards God, and you want to do right, if he can't get you to stop doing right, what he's going to tell is you every little thing you do, oh, that you messed up there, 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 and tell you just nuts. Because you think everything you do is wrong. And then there's somebody that's like, what, me do something wrong, huh? And they're just doing everything left and right. Don't even care. Not sensitive to God at all. Well, we don't throw out the one thing. The one person says, confess what's it? I pretty much never do anything wrong. The other guy says, I got to confess everything. No, when the light comes, we do what he tells us to do. And if you sin, your conscience is going to bother you. If it's not bothering you, don't drum it up. Don't say, oh, I must have done something wrong. Say, no. As far as I know, God would show me, and he's not showing me. You will have a boldness and a confidence to go before God. You won't be pushed off by every little thing. You'll say, I am the righteousness of God, Christ Jesus, and if he tells me something that I missed, he'll show me because he's faithful and just, and he'll show me what I did wrong. And you stand up then, you're walking in the light, being a doer of the word, and when you submit to God in that way, the devil will flee from you. Amen. Not because of you and your holiness, but because you're in him, you're submitted to him, and you'll go on with him. We're talking about light coming to our minds. Amen. Higher level, conscious of what's going on. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.